Hello and welcome to European Respiratory Society podcast, a regular feature of the ERS Respiratory Channel. The topic of this podcast is cryobiopsy versus genomic classifier, a hot topic in interstitial lung disease. My name is Katerina. I am professor of respiratory medicine and head of laboratory and cellular and molecular pulmonology at the University of Crete, and I'm currently head of the ERS Assembly 12 for the interstitial lung diseases. Joining me in this discussion are Venerino Poletti and Ganesh Raghu. They do not need a lot of introduction, but I will start with Venerino, who is professor of pulmonary medicine at the Bologna University in Italy. He was also head of the ERS Assembly 12 from 2018 to 2021. Professor Ganesh Raghu is professor of medicine and professor of laboratory medicine and pathology at University of Washington in Seattle, USA. So we are going to start our discussion today regarding two methodologies, cryobiopsy and genomic classifier, which are helping us as ILD physicians to diagnose interstitial lung disease today. So I will start with first Venerino to describe the methodology of lung cryobiopsy.
Hi, everybody. Cryobiopsy approach needs an intubation of the patient with a rigid tube or orotracheal tube. Then you introduce this cryoprobe through the operating channel of the fiber optic bronchoscope. You reach the periphery. You control your position during a arch. You freeze using CO2, usually, for 3, 4, 8 seconds. And then you retrieve the unblock the bronchoscope and the probe, and you need Fogarty balloon in order to hamper major bleeding. With this approach, you can obtain larger samples, usually more than 5 millimeters or diameter, with no crash artifact. And so it has been used, and it has been shown to be useful for the diagnosis of a variety of ILDs.
Thank you, Venerino. So regarding cryobiopsy, it is an interventional pulmonology technique. We need the intubation of the patient, but we obtain larger samples with the transbronchial biopsy. And now Ganesh will describe to us the genomic classifier.
Yeah, thanks very much, Katerina. First of all, you know, this genomic classifier was developed to be highly specific to improve the confidence in an IPF clinical diagnosis with a UIP pattern. As you and we all know, UIP, we generally relate to histopathology and CT findings. But the newer technique for scientific rigor, utilizing the RNA sequencing and machine learning technique, was the object of the genomic classifier. So essentially, it is a relatively simple technique, as far as technique is concerned, because you're just utilizing the transbronchial lung biopsy samples, the routine transbronchial lung biopsy samples that are obtained at the time of the bronchoalveolar lavage or fiber optic bronchoscopy. And the transbronchial lung biopsy specimens are collected during a routine biopsy. They're pooled, and then the mRNA is prepared from the pooled transbronchial lung biopsy samples, which is used for the whole transcriptome sequencing. And then the machine that has been learned before, based on the studies correlating with the surgical lung biopsy of usual interstitial pneumonia pattern in the same lobe, the NVGIA classifier, as it is called, or a genomic classifier, is locked. And then it is used to designate either a positive or negative molecular usual interstitial pneumonia pattern.
Thank you, Ganesh. I think you was very clear about the methodology. So it is a classical bronchoscopy with a classical transbronchial biopsy samples, and it is mainly developed in order to diagnose UIP pattern in an IPF patient environment. Is that correct?
It is developed based on the RNA sequencing of the genomic classifier and the machine to have learned it. to be able to make a molecular diagnosis of UIP, but not to make a diagnosis of IPF. It is simply to make a diagnosis of UIP from a molecules and genomic classifiers, and then utilizing that in the multiple discipline discussions that we would normally would do to make a diagnosis of IPF is what it is all about.
So we have in our hands one more tool in the puzzle of the algorithm of idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. So we have recently published, and Ganesh was the first author of the new guidelines of ATS, CRS, ALAT, and GRS about the diagnosis of IPF. Can you talk a little bit, Fenerino and then Ganesh, about the role of cryobiopsy in the new guidelines and then the role of genomic classifier in the new guidelines in the algorithm of IPF? Venerino?
Yeah, in the new guidelines, cryobiopsy is suggested to be a good substitute of surgical lung biopsy for the diagnosis of IPF or progressive pulmonary fibrosis, mainly IPF in that context. So we have not strong evidence, so we had no recommendation, but we have only suggestion. But first of all, I have a question for Ganesh. Ganesh, you said that diagnosis of molecular UIP is a signature of UIP, but in histology, we have UIP without ancillary findings. You can find it usually in IPF, and UIP with ancillary finding usually found in hypersensitivity pneumonitis or collagen vascular diseases. For the histopathological point of view, these UIP patterns are different. Is the same thing using genomic classifier?
No, that we'll talk. I'll talk about what the guideline committee reviewed and made the recommendations. But to answer your question, Venerino, yes, it is a molecular signature for UIP. It does not differentiate UIP from HP or connective tissue disease or asbestos-associated UIP. So it simply states it is a UIP. And that was what the machine was learned to detect. And that UIP was based on surgical lung biopsies. So the pathologists, such as Jeff Myers and others, had reviewed the surgical lung biopsy in terms of the UIP in IPF patients, but the molecular UIP will not differentiate the fine granularity that would be needed to differentiate from histopathological standpoint whether the UIP is due to HP or whether the UIP is due to connective tissue disease or other specific fibrotic lung diseases.
Yes, I think that those guidelines were the first guidelines where the cryobiopsy technique has been introduced in the algorithm. This was a great, I think, achievement for this methodology, and especially for people like Venerino, who have worked a lot in Europe for this technique. But on the other hand, we have reviewed also the genomic classifier. So, Ganesh, could you tell us what the guidelines are saying about the role of this, let's say, new tool in the algorithm of IPF?
Yeah. So the IPF guideline committee was posed the question, should genomic classifier testing to be used for the diagnosis of idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis in transbronchial lung biopsies? So the committee and the methodologist reviewed all the data available going back to 2015, when the retrospective studies identified molecular signal in the surgical lung biopsy tissue for UIP, and then subsequent positive prospective studies that demonstrated molecular UIP signal, and then validated the INVISIA classifier and demonstrated the clinical utility, and in the real world. So there were 4 to 6 studies that really the methodologist reviewed very, very carefully. So the bottom line of the question that was asked, should genomic classifier testing be performed for the purpose of diagnosing UIP in patients with ILD of indeterminate type who were undergoing transbronchial force or biopsy, the committee, after reviewing and discussing with the methodologist of the 4 relevant studies that were done, where there were 195 patients, total patients that looked in prospective studies for accuracy studies and realizing that the sensitivity and the specificity was different when aggregated by meta-analysis, the genomic classifier testing identified that the UIP pattern with the sensitivity about 68% and a specificity of about 92%, the committee, however, made no recommendations at this point for or against the addition of the genomic classifier testing for the purpose of the diagnosing UIP. So therefore, the committee really discussed it and pretty much came to a equal recommendations. And therefore, based on the threshold of the methodology used, the committee made no recommendations for or against the addition of the genomic classifier at this point.
Thank you, Ganesh. I think this was also a very important question to the guidelines, because we all think that we need a novel technology in order to improve our knowledge about the molecular signature of fibrotic lung diseases. However, I would like to ask both of you regarding the testing all over the world, because we know that cryo is more applicable in Europe, European centers, and on the other side, genomic classifier, where is available. And I would like also to ask you about the histopathological diagnostic threshold of those methodologies and the complications of those methodologies.
The diagnostic yield, according to the meta-analysis study published so far, and according to it was already reported in the recently published guideline, is around 80%, and also in the paper in Annals of American Thoracic Society published just that day, is around 80%. We have variability between centers. The more expert center are more than 80%. The less experienced center are less than 80%. But at the end, we have 80% as the diagnostic yield. We have also the similar diagnostic, either if you consider histopathology or multidisciplinary diagnosis. So the diagnosis regards UIP, but also other patterns such as NSIP, hypersensitivity, immunitis, and so on. We have a good paper by the Lauren Troy group from Australia regarding diagnostic accuracy. So the comparison between cryobiopsy and surgical lung biopsy was good at the end, because we had an agreement that was more than 0.7, and it was even higher when you have a histopathological diagnosis made with high confidence by pathologists. This is regarding the diagnostic role of cryobiopsy. Regarding complications, the more frequent complication is pneumothorax, around 10-15%. It depends if you have biopsy in different segments, if you freeze longer than 5 seconds, if you have UIP pattern at the final diagnosis, and so on. But the more life-threatening complication is major bleeding, and you need to have to use bronchial blockers and C-ARC or fluoroscopy in order to prevent or control these bleedings. Regarding the diffusion of this approach in Europe, you know, it's used in the majority of the centers. Now its use is increasing in USA. We have very good center and very good publication. And also in India, I am aware of that because I was invited in India and in China. So I think that because the machine is not so expensive, of course, you need some experience in interventional pulmonology, but the method will be used more and more in the near future. But that's just a short comment. I think we are not in competition, because genomic classifier, I think, is a fantastic new tool.
Yeah, you know that the guideline committee with Venerino was an integrated part of the committee development process, both for the cryobiopsy and the genomic classifier, is that the guideline committee favored the conditional recommendation for the use of cryobiopsy for the diagnostic accuracy of the histopathology. The critical outcome that the committee faced in making that decision was emphasized with the histopathology diagnosis, with some caveats, as Venerino has already pointed out. So it was a conditional recommendation for, but the emphasis was also made that it should be done in centers only with experience, both for the technique as well as to deal with the complications, as well as the pathologist to be able to recognize that the histopathology in the cryobiopsy was the UIP pattern with some caveats. So there were some emphasis that was made. Now, coming back to the genomic classifier, there were two school of thoughts among the committee. 35% of the committee members favored and argued that the high specificity provided the important diagnostic information can be used in the multidisciplinary discussion based on the documentations of the prospective studies. And therefore, this group of committee members suggested that, well, it may reduce the need for additional sampling, be it cryobiopsy or surgical lung biopsy for histopathology. But the same committee, the other side of the coin, the committee members who argued against was that, well, additional studies are necessary to obtain a little bit higher estimates of sensitivity because the specificity is already there. So they suggested, well, maybe we need a more precise estimate, but also argued that the molecular diagnosis, the signatures, does not provide the granular details of the histopathology under the light microscope. So the importance of the identifying the UIP, whether it is a HP or others, connective tissue disease, for example, this committee group felt that maybe we do need the histopathology because it's not just enough to have a molecular diagnosis. And as you, Katarina, already pointed out, the concern was it is not yet widely available in the world. So at the moment, as you know, United States has been doing it based on the governmental regulations approval for it to be used, but it is not yet available. So the committee members who are not yet doing the transbronchial lung biopsy and have access to send out for the molecular diagnosis felt a little bit premature. They felt a little bit, well, we need a little bit more data and maybe we should wait until the experience utilizing the genomic classifier is a little bit more applicable to the rest of the world, including Europe. India, for example, also does a lot of invasive diagnostic. So that is how the committee felt that there was no recommendation for or against at this point, but was very much emphasizing that this will need to be updated based on newer data. As Venerino pointed out, it is really a fantastic tool if it really works out in the hands of everybody all over the world.
Thank you, Yannis. We have two new methodologies to use accordingly. We have updated our knowledge with the meta-analysis that you have already provided to us, the numbers and the complications. We need a lot of further research and application all over the world in order to have more data in the next guidelines. Of course, as Venerino said, it is not a competition. Those methodologies could also be seen as complementary because, as Ganesh stressed, we have compared surgical lung biopsy with cryobiopsy. And on the other hand, we have a lot of important molecular signature information from genomic classifier, which, for example, we would like also the possibility to test that in European centers. And of course, we are very, very open to this technique. And what do you think about the future of this technique in the diagnosis of ILDs? Venerino?
Regarding cryobiopsy, the future is related to the guiding tools you can use for cryobiopsy. And now we have an ongoing study on the use of cone-beam CT. And there are already papers on CLE, confocal laser endomicroscopy, and OCT, optical coherence tomography, that can allow us to identify specific area of the lung to biopsy. And also in the future is that we can exploit the samples obtaining using immunohistochemistry and also molecular analysis, because I think the future will be the molecular analysis is happening and already happened in oncology. The issue now is important because provide us specific information on activation or disactivation of specific molecular pathways. So I think that this will be the future, a collaboration between the modality to obtain tissue and modality to exploit completely the two issues so obtained.
So I echo Venerina's comment, but with the following caveat. So the future really would be, in my vision, that we do less biopsies or no biopsies, whether it is transbronchial or whether it is cryobiopsy or whether it is surgical lung biopsy. It is clear that a surgical lung biopsy is becoming less and less with the cryobiopsy, thanks to Venerino, the pioneer who started all of this. And so the cryobiopsy clearly is picking up in the United States, which reluctantly that it was. And so it's now picking up after the guidelines. The transbronchial lung biopsy, which I learned from the guideline process, that most, if not all of the Europeans, for some reason, do not do the transbronchial lung biopsy as a routine. And the reason is because in the 2011 guidelines, we recommended against the transbronchial lung biopsy for the patients suspected with IPF, because we were basing our decision on the histopathology. Now, with 12 years later, the genomic classifier is the difference. What I also learned that the Europeans are reluctant because of that, and so therefore they don't do it. And they're also concerned about the complications. Now, this guy Hetzel from Europe did a very nice study in collective samples in a cohort of patients receiving transbronchial biopsy and the cryobiopsy, published in Respiratory Research in 2019, and compared the complications of the transbronchial lung biopsy with the cryobiopsy. Not surprising, the bleeding episodes were much less in the transbronchial biopsy, and the pneumothorax was less frequent in the transbronchial lung biopsy. So those kind of data hopefully will increase the comfort zone of those people who are reluctant to do the transbronchial lung biopsy. But transbronchial lung biopsy is not a new technique. It's a routine technique that all pulmonary physicians know about. It's been there for decades. So it's not further training that requires for cryobiopsy. Cryobiopsy is sophisticated, requires people with the vigilance and diligence and scrutiny, such as Venerino. So the transbronchial lung biopsy, I think the future is maybe the transbronchial lung biopsy, the molecular signature, if at all we need a biopsy. So maybe that could be, and therefore it would be less and less need. As you very well know, the machine learning, the radiologists are really looking very much in terms of quantifications and the technique, as well as to be able to make the diagnosis of parenchymal lung abnormalities. So I think the future is going to be complementary between the machine learning of radiology as well as the genomic classifier. And by the way, the genomic classifier has been utilized in the cryobiopsy specimens as well. So not just in the transbronchial biopsy. So I think the future should be a good correlation, a prospective study, maybe comparing the transbronchial biopsy and the cryobiopsy and the lavage, for example. I mean, maybe the signatures in the lavage could be okay, and maybe the signatures even in the peripheral blood may be okay too. So those are all the future that I vision that is going to happen in the next few years' time, minimizing the need for surgical or any invasive surgical lung biopsies.
Ganesh, I think you're right, but just an alternative vision. So far, we have tissue in order to assess molecular pathway or immunohistopathology or immunohistochemistry. But in oncology field, they are now trying to exploit tissue for cellular culture. I think this could be, or even tissue biopsy, but with the analysis of vital cells. And this could be very interesting, but it is a visionary approach, probably is far away.
No. It is not a fantasy. I think your point is extremely well taken, Venerino, in terms of the oncology approach. So we're talking slightly different now. Utilizing the molecular techniques or molecular receptor biology for three things that I can see. Targeting specific pathways of treatment, whether it is inflammation or cascades or fibrotic.
Yeah.
Number two, to be able to predict progressive pulmonary fibrosis. Number three, to decision-making process in terms of treatment. So I think those are the future things that the biopsy is important, not so much for the diagnostic part of it, but in terms of the predicted ability to say this person with this particular molecular signature precisely is going to progress. So it's a prediction for progressive pulmonary fibrosis, also a prediction for which one person is going to do poorly or badly with immunosuppressive medication, for example. So there is some data on the genomic classifier that the prognosis of therapeutic aspects is poor if there is UIP on the molecular diagnosis and you use prednisone, azathioprine, and immunosuppressive. So those kind of information is very useful in this. So yeah, you're right. There is a role for the tissue, whether it is one of these, for this kind of visionary aspects. Not fantasy, but I think it's reality.
Yes, I agree with both of you saying that, of course, we have to endotype better our fibrosing ILD patients for the reasons that both of you have explained to us. And maybe in the future, we have to work more in order to achieve this diagnosis, prognosis, and the therapeutic goal with less invasive techniques. Maybe BAL, a signature like a liquid biopsy, for example, in cancer biology. And I think that we had a very nice discussion, and I have enjoyed a lot. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Katerina, thank you very much. We look forward to continued progress in this area. I look forward to seeing you guys in ERS in Barcelona.
Thank you for joining us for this ERS podcast. I have enjoyed taking part in it. And thank you to Venerino and Ganesh for their contributions and insights on the topic. You can visit the ERS Respiratory Channel each month for more podcasts featuring discussion between experts on the latest hot topics in respiratory medicine.